I do not want to get to the end of my life and find I lived just the length of it. I want to have lived the breadth of it as well. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. I don't want to live my life and find out that I only lived one dimension of it. I want to find out that I lived my life in all of its dimensions and that I lived it well. We were just talking about using equipment that we have here at the monastery. And we have equipment that we use for making cassette tapes of my talks and sending them out to people. And the girls were telling me that sometimes one or more of the tracks didn't print up. And they didn't know why. And they said they did everything they're supposed to do, but one or more of the tracks didn't print up. And what's the matter here? And I said, well, what you probably want to do is you probably want to read the manual. And that way the manual is going to tell you exactly what you're doing, exactly what you're working on. And when the manual tells you exactly what you're doing and exactly what you're working on, then you can follow it. But in the medical doctor's report about the mental abilities of human beings, especially people over 70 or over 80 or something like that, it says that you can teach an old dog new tricks. It only takes a little longer. And so it is, you can teach an old person new tricks, new information, but it only takes a little longer. Now, why does it take a little longer for a dog to learn new tricks? Well, it takes longer for a dog to learn new tricks because a dog first must unlearn what he has learned before. If you're going to teach him that sit now means to be at attention and sit right by my side and not move until I say move, then that's going to have a different meaning than just ordinary, now sit. And then they sit, and then you do whatever you're going to do, and they stay seated until you tell them to get up. But if sit now has a new definition to it, it has new parameters to it, you have to teach them. And you teach them by doing it over and over and over and over again. Now, we have just been teaching ourselves that we're only using part of our brain. Oh, what a new thought. What a new idea that we're only using part of our brain. That's sarcasm in a voice there. Now, what a new thought. We've only been using maybe 0.1% of our brain or less, and that's a lot, really. To do all the things we do with that limited use, and then we have just learned that we're only using 0.1% of 0.5% of our brain, because half of our brain is designed toward the intellectual aspects of it, and the other half is toward the emotional or the feeling aspects of it. Now, my goodness sakes, when you're raising a child, you say to the child, now be kind, be loving. Don't let people take you. Be intellectual and be aware of that, you know, but be kind and be loving because you want to be kind and be loving. And if someone just uses you, you know, then your intellectualism should come in and say, I'm not going to be used, you know. Well, now, you can't do that. You see, there is where you have two despairing attitudes, and you want to have one. And what is the word that combines those two attitudes? It's called wisdom. You see, when we use wisdom, we are both using our sensitivity and our intellectual quality. We're using our ability to feel and our ability to know. They're both used together to perform a particular act of awareness that is based not only on emotion, which would be very limited, but and not only on intelligence, which would not necessarily show how to use that information. You know, you have all this knowledge, now what are you going to do with it? I have known many perpetual students in my life who were constantly in school. And as I was at the University of Chicago, I was in the graduate school there in the Chicago Theological Seminary. And, well, we had time to visit with different people around there. And we saw these older people in their 40s and 50s. We were in our 20s. And so they really were old, you know. And so we saw these older people still going to school. And oftentimes we would come up in a conversation with them. We'd say, why are you still going to school? Oh, I'm a perpetual student. Well, what does a perpetual student? It means I never have to go get a job. I never have to apply what I'm learning. You understand? I never have to apply what I'm learning. A perpetual student never gets involved in anything that uses his knowledge. And what a very sorry way of looking at it. However, most of humanity is that same way. They have a storehouse of knowledge, of information, and they only use a tiny percent of it. Just on the logical open-end point of it, of all the television knowledge, for instance, you go on the Discovery Channel, or you go on to the Education Channel, you go on to all the various channels who are dedicated to pumping your knowledge, pumping your mind full of knowledge and full of information, and people sit and listen to that and drink it in and soak it in, but they don't apply it. They don't apply it. They don't study geology and then go out and apply it. And look, now on that hillside, that probably has that those kind of layers of ground and those kind of layers of rock beneath it. But over here, it's another geological formation that's under the ground that's doing these things, you know. And just curiosity, awareness of the knowledge you have to the facts that are existing in your world, it would be a little application. But you see, to live the breadth of our life, to live the full dimension of our life, we have to have both the right and the left hemispheres harmoniously working together. We've been reading the information on Holosync, and it's quite a fascinating program. And we have purchased their tapes. So what you do during meditation time, they have found, actually the federal government has found this in their research, and what they found is that the brain waves of a meditator are on certain certain vibrations, and the brain wave of a scholar or a genius is on another vibration. And how do you, and one works on the right hemisphere and one works on the left hemisphere, but the scholar only stays on the left hemisphere. The artist perhaps only stays on the right hemisphere. And the meditator, the yoga meditator, balances both of them. He vibrates in the harmonious scope of both brains. And they have measured with EKG and with all the other sort of things that they use for measuring brain waves. They measure these and they know what waves the right has and what waves the left has and how to coordinate those waves together. Now you say, well, isn't that interesting? If they were able to do that, because then the mind, you would have a great, wonderful memory. You'd have a great ability to instantly turn off and turn on pain. Who wants to turn it on, you know? You'd have a great ability to speak your word, and your body would only digest, ingest, take what from food, whatever it was that you chose as your optimum self, and You say, well, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Everyone should get on that Holosync program, you know. Well, that takes an hour every day of listening to the meditative tape and sitting in meditation. And yes, it is great. Yes, it does many wonderful things for you, more than you realize it does. But in those same things in the Discovery magazine and in the Business Week magazine, they have articles coming up of new scientific discoveries that are being backed by investors, which have been taking the stem cells of the human body, not just the baby, you know, of any human body, and using it to grow hair, using it to cause an organ or a function of the body that's not working properly to revitalize itself, regrow itself, to toss out the useless part that has been, you know, either diseased or has been immatured, that it didn't mature, and to have it come through in its wonderful blossoming self. And it's just a matter of rearranging these stem cell uses on those. And they're telling of hundreds and hundreds and perhaps thousands of uses in the body, and how it teaches cancer cells to, not teaches cancer cells, it teaches good cells how to refuse awareness of the cancer cell, so the cancer cell just fluffs away. And these things are being done, but this is the breath of life. We have the length of it from year to year, moment to moment we live, but how widely is our mentality moving into the area of our life? Are we reaching out to the discovery of these new ideas? Some people are, but do they know that in their reaching out, they're reaching into what is called the infinite cosmic mind, the infinite universal mind? And in that universal mind, all this knowledge that they so devoutly desire, all that knowledge already exists and already is in use in some awareness, in some dimension of life and space and time. And they're there merely revealing it here. Now, over in Europe, they have had a lot of wonderful filmmakers who made touching, in-depth films that reached into the human psyche, that reached into the human mind, and they have done these things very beautifully. And they were just showing it to the European audiences. And then the avant-garde group brings them over to America and England and other places and shows them in the little out-of-the-way theaters, in the beatnik, you might say, or bistro type of theaters, and people go and say, wow, isn't that beautiful, isn't that wonderful? And it's revealed, now you heard that word,
yeah.
It's revealed to an only small number of people who are ready for it. Now, why is it doesn't just jump right on to PBS, or why is it just doesn't jump on to the networks? As a wonderful presentation, because oftentimes there's nudity in it that is offensive to Americans, and there's language that is offensive, and perhaps it should be that way, and other things, and so it does not win approval. But in the off-Broadway theaters that it plays in, it is well received. It is well known. But you see, I'm merely trying to say those things to you only from the point of view, it is known in Europe and it is later revealed in America too. Now, many things are known by you, but they're not revealed through your wisdom in the use in your body and in your experiences. And this is what we want to do. This is the breath of life. And we have the length in years, 1 to 100, 1 to 200, 1 to whatever, you know. But what's going on? Are we just going down that straight and narrow path? Or are we looking at the broadness, the possibilities of who and what we are? And all we have to do to look at the broadness and the possibilities of who we and what we are, is to say to ourselves, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer to everything. No matter what crosses your mind, you think that little children are enough to drive you up the wall because they ask questions, questions, questions. Well, they're not stupid questions. The mind of a child is far more broad than we give it credit for. And if we would feed that broad mind, of course, we can't feed it if we haven't got it ourselves. If we don't know it ourselves, how are we going to help the youngster to know it? And that's the truth. So this is something that we always have to consider. If we had the privilege of having a dozen Christ children who were so pure and so beautiful and so magnificent, who would raise them? It's an impossible thing almost. Who would raise perfection? Every time a parent, a counselor, a mentor, anytime any person gets involved with the child, what's the first thing they want to do? They want to raise them as they have been raised. They want to raise them on the schedule that they have been raised, on the limitations that they don't go to that child itself and say, well, what would you like to do today, you know? What excites you? And, well, I want to know about this here. How many stars are in the sky? And how many grains of sand are on the beach? And, well, let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. Well, are we going to go and count all the grains of sand on all the beaches in the world? No. We're going to take a sample of this here, and we're going to take a 1 foot square or 1 meter square of sand, and we're going to count all the grains in there. Well, now, that's a lot. So then we're going to take 1 centimeter or 1 inch square of sand, and we're going to count that. And then we're going to take 1/4 of a centimeter and come on down to maybe just a teeny weeny bit, but an actual piece. And then we count the sands in that, and we multiply to reach it out into the square foot or the square centimeter, or what is it?
Square miles.
Square mile. But then we take the number of miles of beach, and we take the average of the depths of the sand of the beach, and we go along there. And that's why scientists, it's all guesstimation.
And then you don't have those sand in the ocean.
Well, that's not what we were saying, the sands on the beach. We're saying how many grains of sand are on the beach. Now, if you want, you could go down into the ocean and you have another story, because the sands are piled up pretty thick down there. And that's another story. But you see, scientifically, you can figure out the number of stars in the sky by taking an area and adding up so many stars and broadcasting it over a large area. But that is fallacious also, because it only gives you what you can see, and you don't know what's beyond what you can see, and you don't know whether you're looking at it in a clear night or whether you're looking at it at a slight foggy night, or if perhaps there's a mist going by with a group of satellites passing along with a trail so that you can't see all the stars, you know. There's all these possibilities, but you see, that's the broadness of thinking. That's a Mensa thinker. See, that's a thinker of a genius. That's a thinker of someone who's using the broadness of their lifespan. Just to take the length is one thing, but to take the breath, and what a beautiful word that is.
Mm-hmm.
Take the breath, the expansion, the latitude, the wonderfulness of all knowledge. You see, it's so fascinating. It says, I do not want to get to the end of my life and find that I lived just the length of it. I want to have lived the breadth of it as well. Now think on those things. They're pretty exciting. Pretty much exactly what's in your mind, isn't it? And it's just what we're all thinking and what we're all doing. So, my loves, that's the Absolute Philosopher for today, sharing with you a little bit of the perspicacity of our thinking systems to come up with some fantastic ideas. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
I love you.